are human and we are weak. But take it from me.
Ladies, boy, that's a good song. The preacher was saying he's just listening to that coming over. And if you don't know that song or don't have the CD, we probably got some available in the bookstore. If not, we'll get you one. And these ladies could have recorded that, couldn't they? And great harmonies, great song. Boy, I tell you, I hope that when people stand to sing specials and we sing the hymns, that you listen to what we're singing and the messages that are in the songs that we're singing. If you're visiting with us tonight, my name is Todd Lassner. I serve here at this church as the co-pastor with Dr. Smith. So I wanted to say that just for those of you that are visiting, want to know why we're playing musical preacher here tonight. So appreciate you being here, and God bless you for choosing to be in the house of God tonight. James 1 is where we're going to be. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. We're going to read verses 22 through verses 27. Now, the preacher kind of alluded to what I wanted to preach on tonight right at the end of his message, so he kind of gave the introduction into what I wanted to preach about tonight as we do enter into a new year. And I hope that you'll think about what the Bible is trying to say here to us and that we'll take action as the Bible commands us to. James chapter 1, if you'd stand with me, please, let's stretch our legs for just a moment as we read the Word of God together, beginning in James chapter 1, verse number 22. Now, if you have a King James Bible, this is the way it reads like this. It says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer," it's about to make a comparison now. James said, "He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." In other words, he looks there, he sees himself for who he really is. It says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." He looks into the glass, he sees his reflection, he does nothing about it, he goes his own way. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Now I want you to notice verse 27 for our text verse. The Scripture says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." He said, you want pure religion? I'm going to tell you two things, one outwardly, one inwardly. He said the outward ministry is ministering to the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And I want you to notice that last statement that James says here. He says, now, pure religion, visiting the fatherless and widows, an outward work. He says, but I want you to understand there's also another work that has to be going on. See, here's what we thought. Some of us thought when we got saved that all the work is gone. That we don't have to do anything, that God's just going to do everything for us, and it's going to be smooth sailing from here to the pearly gates. Do you know what's not that way? The Christian life requires work. Now, the only thing you say, man, we have to work for everything. The only thing you don't have to work for is salvation. But other than that, in the Christian life, it takes work. And James says it's going to take work to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I've entitled the message tonight, based on this scripture, The Ultimate Stain Remover. The Ultimate Stain Remover. Let's pray together. Father, boy, you've been good today. We've seen people saved. We've seen people baptized. We've seen you move in the hearts of people that have been out of church for a while. And Lord, just like this dear lady who came down the aisle this morning, been out of church for years, and she came under conviction this morning to make her get her life on track with God. Father, that ought to be what all of us should do. Every service. It's so easy to get off track so many times. And I pray, Lord, from service to service that we would not be unfamiliar with the altar of the living God in the house of God. That we would make it a regular appearance and a regular visit, Lord, to the altar at each service. There's so many things that we need to make right in our lives. We pray that you do your work now in and through us tonight. Bless us as we look into the Scriptures. Holy Ghost of God, do your work, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have in my possession here a pretty filthy handkerchief. If you'll see that handkerchief right there, it's soiled, it's stained, it's spotted. You say, what is that junk on there? Well, here's a coffee stain. That's one of my favorites. One stain you can't see on here is a grease stain, but boy, you can really see the other stain right there. Now, I didn't want to prick my finger and use as a blood stain, so I faked it. All right? But that's really just pretend that's a blood stain on there. Now, all I'm saying to you is that you look at this handkerchief and say, man, that's a filthy, nasty handkerchief. I'm not going to use that. And I'd never use that for any purpose at all. And yet, each one of these stains on this handkerchief are unique. And may I say to you tonight, church, that each one of these stains requires certain attention for them to be removed and restore my hanky to its cleanliness, right? Now, I can give this hanky to my wife. She can go and take the stains out, and I can get it back again. But you know, it don't take long for me to stain up her handkerchief. It doesn't take long for me to stain up something after my wife has cleaned it up. I'm here to tell you tonight that each one of these stains are unique. You know, I can take this handkerchief right here, take that blood stain, soak it in cold water, and for the most part, that blood will come out. But you know, it ain't going to do anything for my coffee stain or my grease stain. See, every one of them are unique. And aren't you glad tonight that it didn't require other cleaners in your life for salvation like works or baptism or the sacraments or church membership to wash your soul clean? All it took was one cleaner, the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all it took to clean us from our sins. But you know, I found out in my Christian life that even after I got saved, I still kept getting spots on me. I still kept getting things on me. You see, although the blood of Jesus has washed my soul clean eternally, from time to time through this walk in life, sometimes I look around and I find a spot on my life. I'll find a stain on my life. May I say to you that just as Jesus washed our sins away totally, forever and ever, and I'm clean, my soul and spirit are clean, and may I say to you that through this walk of life, you're going to find out that from time to time, you're going to find spots and stains on your life. And may I say to you that just like the blood of Christ is the ultimate cleaner for the soul, I'm going to talk to you about the ultimate stain remover for those blots and those spots and those stains that we find through life. Now, this sermon's a little bit unique because I only got one point. And you're not even going to get it till the very end. So I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about the ultimate stain remover. And may I say a couple of things here? First of all, you say, well, what is that? Well, first of all, may I say to you that the stains I'm talking about right here are not the stains on the soul. Those stains of sin have been washed away. But rather, I'm talking to you tonight about your testimony. I'm talking about the things that we do and every day of our life to stain and spot our personal testimony for Jesus Christ. No wonder the lost world don't want to come in and find out what's going on here, because too many of us look like this. We do nothing to try to clean our life up. And all the lost world looks at is this. We go day after day after day and do nothing to clean our life up whatsoever. I'm here to tell you there is a way to get that done. My testimony is one of the most important things that I have outside of my salvation. And you know, my testimony reflects my inner spirit. It reflects my walk with God. And if my walk with God's not right, it's probably because my spirit's not right. And therefore, when my spirit's not right, it always projects outwardly. And I testify before people about my Lord. When I wear, let me just give you a quick illustration real quick. Do you know when I wear a stained shirt or tie? Let me tell you what that does. First of all, it reflects on my character. I've got a big old spaghetti stain on my tie, and I just leave it there. It reflects on my character. But may I say also, it also not only reflects on my character, it reflects on my wife, because she's the one that takes care of my ties and shirts. And if I just wear it, do nothing about it, it reflects on my character and on those that I love as well. Let me give you a couple things to think about here before I get going. A stained and spotted cloth will always show outwardly several things. I wonder how many of us, before we put on a piece of clothing, actually check it for stains or spots. You say, why should I? They all come out in the wash. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that those stains and spots say something outwardly. They say several things. First of all, it shows that I don't check. It shows that I get sidetracked with things in my life and I don't check my clothes out before I go. Listen, the other day I came to church here. I went half the day. Nobody said anything to me. Nobody even mentioned that I had a stain on my collar. So I go to the mirror here in the hallway, and I look in the mirror there, and there's a big old orange stain on my collar right there. Now, the thing about it is, I was embarrassed. But you know how I got out of the house like that? I didn't check it before I left. I didn't check the shirt. I didn't look in the mirror. I just put the shirt on and went to work. I didn't check anything. You see, I was unaware the stain was there. Folks wasn't looking for a stain, was you? See, the thing about it is, I wasn't looking for a stain. I just assumed, hey, the shirt's clean. But you know, also I remember that morning vaguely, but I remember I got preoccupied with some things. That as I was getting ready for work, things drew my attention away from it. So I didn't have time to look at the shirt and notice the stain on the collar. I'm just here to tell you tonight that, hey, folks, some of the stains, some of the spots that we have, it shows that we don't check enough. Number two, not only does it show that I don't check, but if I leave the house with an old smeared stain on my tie and shirt, for some of us tonight, we just don't check. For some of us, it shows that we just don't consider. You know, when I leave the house with a stain on my collar, you know what? I was embarrassed, not for me, but I was embarrassed because I walked out of the house, and when I walked out of the house, I was representing my wife who takes care of my shirts and takes care of my ties, and I'm representing my family. They walk around. Here's my kids walking around. My dad walks around with a stain on his collar and don't care. You see, I just didn't consider. Some of us don't consider how it reflects on others. Some of us don't consider how the stains or the spots reflect on people that we love, how it reflects on others, how it reflects on our character, how it reflects on us. You know, the stain is there. When we don't consider the stains there, what we try to do is, well, here's what I'll do. I got a stain on my shirt. Here's what most of us do. I know it's there, but I'm going to try to hide it. So I'm going to get some spit. Spit takes everything away. So I'm going to get some spit, take it on there, and try to rub it out, and then I'm going to keep my coat buttoned. That way I got it covered. The thing about it is I know it's there the whole time, right? I'm aware of it, but I'm going to just try to cover it up because you know what? I ain't got time to go back and change shirts or change ties. We're too busy, right? You see, sometimes it shows that we don't check. Sometimes stains and spots show that we don't consider. And then may I say number three, and I hate to even mention this, but some may be here. Sometimes we have stains and spots and it shows that we don't care. We just don't care. We got the attitude that, hey, it's the way it is. Get over it. That we have the attitude that, hey, it's my shirt. I can wear it if I want to. If I want to wear it with a stain, I can wear it with a stain. Sometimes we just don't care that we come and appear certain ways. And then some, it's no big deal. Because we have the attitude that nobody cares, and then we think that nobody can see it. We think, oh, it's there, but hey, you know what? Nobody sees it. Nobody will notice that it's there. You see, this just indicates a serious flaw in my daily relationship with people, and may I say it also reflects a spirit of pride. When I just don't care that I've got a spot on my tie or spot on my shirt, listen, how would you feel if I pull this hank out of my pocket and say, hang on just a minute, y'all, I need to wipe my eyes, and I pull my handkerchief out to wipe my eyes, you think, that is filthy. That is absolutely filthy. But can I say to you, a spot or a stain, not only is something in soil, but listen to me very carefully, it's a mark made by foreign matter. And did you know that James said that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? He said we're to keep ourselves clean and pure. And may I say to you also that spots and stains are much more visible and noticeable on white material. Do you realize that if I had these stains on a black handkerchief, most of you wouldn't even see it? You say, well, why are they so visible? Because it's on a white handkerchief. And may I say to you tonight that I'm washed clean by the blood of the Lamb? And do you realize that if I'll check and I'll consider, you know what, those stains and spots are going to show up? They're going to show up a little bit more evidently in my life. Because I am a child of God. You say, why is that so important, Brother Todd? Well, first of all, because people do notice. And by the way, all three of these situations that I just mentioned tonight, everybody in here falls into one of those categories. But the situation is the stain is still there. It reveals itself to the outside world. And may I say to you, people do notice. When I leave the house with a mess, with a spaghetti stain on my collar, or a grease stain on my tie or on my suit, and I leave the house not caring, I'm reflecting on all of my family and I'm reflecting on me. And when people see that, you know what they think? Come on, man. Do something about that stain. That's tacky. You say, well, people ought not to care and judge. Well, they do. And by the way, do you know what? The only way that they have to judge is by your outward appearance. If you'll remember not too long after Samuel began to seek after a king, if you'll remember, he went to the house of Jesse. And there he began to look at the stature. He began to look at the prominent sons and said, oh, this must be the one. This must be the one. And matter of fact, none of them were the one. God pulled David out of the field watching sheep, and he taught Samuel something. He said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Do you know all the world can see of your Christianity is this? That's all they can see. And here's what they do. They either see that or they see this. One or the other. And the thing about it is, do you know I can get this hanky, Brother Bob, like this one? And do you know the Bible tells me how I can get that done? You say, what importance is that to God? Well, take your Bible, if you would, go to Numbers chapter 28. Go to Numbers chapter 28. I'll give you a couple of illustrations here right quick. Numbers chapter 28 and verse number 3. Numbers chapter 28 and verse number 3. Okay, Numbers 28, verse number 3. God speaking here, speaking to Moses, and he tells him, he says, "And thou shalt say unto them," that's the people of God, "this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without," does your Bible say spot? Okay, "without spot," how often? This doesn't seem like this is a 1 month or 1 year offering, does it? He says, first year without spot, day by day, he says, for a continual burnt offering. Now, it's not my intention tonight to go into all the offerings that Israel offered. But I will say, if I've checked my Bible out, and I believe I have looked into this in depth, and I think I'm right on this, the burnt offering was definitely an offering of dedication to the Lord. It was an offering of dedication. Listen to me. The best I can tell from Scripture, it was the only offering where the whole animal was sacrificed. Not part of it, the whole thing. The whole thing was burnt on the altar. And may I say to you tonight, this is a good picture of what we're supposed to be doing, because the Bible teaches us that we're to be a living sacrifice. He doesn't want part of your life. He doesn't want a third or two-thirds. You know what he wants? He wants all of it. He wants all of our life to be dedicated unto him. You see, it was a day-by-day thing, a continual offering. You see, God expected a clean sacrifice, one without blemish. This was what was acceptable to God. I don't want you to raise your hand, but in 2010, do you want to be acceptable before God? Do you want to live this year and come to the end of this coming year and say, Lord, was my life acceptable unto you? I want my life to be acceptable before God. And may I say to you, they followed the instructions or it was unacceptable before God. And when they did it the right way and they came the right way and they sacrificed the right way, the Scripture said over and over and over, it was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. A sweet-smelling savor unto God. May I say to you tonight, church, God wouldn't accept a spotted or blemished sacrifice from Israel, nor would he accept Cain's offering. And may I say to you tonight, if you come and try to present yourself tonight before God like this, may I say to you, he's not going to accept your offering either. And here's what we want to do. We want to live for God like this. That's not his desire. His desire is to use you and I to be clean. How much more can he use us tonight in the overall work of God if we just decided to come to him and sacrifice the whole thing? You say, where do I get that done? According to Scripture, I did it on the altar. Not one of these altars, but that's where we come to sacrifice. I'm just telling you, folks, every service in this church, every service, these altars ought to be filled. You know what we ought to be down here doing? Sacrificing. Sacrificing what? Ourselves. Afresh and anew. Did not the Scripture say we're to do it day by day for a continual burnt offering, a continual dedication? This, we ought to have every service, we ought to have a stack of rededication cards that thick. We all ought to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Because you know what? I have a sneaky feeling that many of us, we go out from service to service. We may leave church like this. We come back like this. You see, some of us, we're not doing the things of God that we ought to be doing because we're trying to offer a sacrifice that God will not accept. Let me give you another Old Testament illustration. You don't have to turn there. But as God gave Moses the instructions to build the tabernacle, He gave him the instructions to build a tabernacle and just some incredible things. I don't have time to go into what was inside the tabernacle. But the interesting thing about the tabernacle and the grounds of the tabernacle is the wall that God had Moses build around the holy place. And as he had him build a wall around the holy place, the scripture says that that wall was made of fine linen. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? That don't have anything to do with me. Can I say this to you? When the people of God came to sacrifice, you know what the first thing they saw, because they couldn't see inside? First thing they saw was that white linen. They understood, you know what? I'm getting close to a holy place. Because white, fine linen always, always in Scripture depicts purity. May I say to you, you know what? When the world looks, I wonder if they're looking at a fine white linen. See, they can't see what's inside, right? So the only thing they can see is this right here. All they can see is the wall that you have around your soul. And God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be right. And that fine linen, may I say to you, that did not undermine what was inside, but rather it reflected what was inside those walls. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13 and 14. Do you know Peter makes reference there that our body is the tabernacle of God? My body now serves as the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost of God. You know whose job it is to make sure that it stays clean? You know whose job it is to make sure that it stays presentable before the world and doesn't come up looking like this? By the way, along these lines, I wonder if some kid came one day close enough to the tabernacle, got a handful of mud, and just threw it up on the white linen, the fine linen. I wonder what happened. What if they just left it there? It's just kids. I don't know what they did, but I'm telling you this. You know what the world's doing to your life and my life? They're throwing mud on it. And you know what some of us are doing? We ain't doing nothing about it. We just take the splat, 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 splat all of our life, do nothing about it. Say, well, it's just the way it is. Just the times that we live in. I don't think that's what God accepts. I don't think that, listen folks, the best I can tell, I serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. If he expected, you listen to me, if he expected an unblemished offering to serve as a dedication offering to him then, you know what he expects from us today? He expects a clean offering before him today. That's us! That's us! And we have the opportunity to give ourselves to him. Let me give you a couple of things about to make the application of these two Old Testament illustrations. Let me say, first of all, that as a believer, I am told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, go to Romans 13, if you would. Go to Romans chapter 13. Take a look here, if you would, please. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Romans 13 and verse number 14. Okay, Romans 13, verse number 14. Paul says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, the scripture says, I'm to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means when I go out into the world, I am to display, I am to exemplify the Lord in everything I do. Whether it's what I say, whether it's my outward appearance, or whatever it may be, I'm to exemplify outwardly the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm saved. I'm a believer. You see, I'm to inwardly and outwardly display Christ-like character. See, the thing about it is, folks, that ultimate stain remover, some of us got the wrong idea how to get that stain taken out. We think that all we got to do is just work, 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 serve, 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 and God's going to overlook all of the things that I do. I don't find that is where God's removing anything there. Sometimes we think that all we've got to do is do this or do that in the church, and as long as it's church-related, then it's got to be able to be okay. Now we're going to look at something here in just a minute. We're going to find out that it is not okay. And there's only one way to get this taken care of. But as a believer, I'm told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Scripture commands me to be a light to the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't believe in lordship salvation here, but we certainly believe in lordship. We certainly believe in discipleship. And may I say to you, one of the things that most of us lack in our life is discipleship. If you'll go check out what Jesus put the qualifications on being a disciple, He says, if you don't meet these qualifications, you cannot be my disciple. Well, you know where that's going to leave a lot of us? That's going to leave a lot of us not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because most of us don't want to make the requirements. We don't want to meet the requirements. We don't want to do the things that are required of us to serve God. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 9, if you would, please. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Would everybody agree with me that Solomon, through experiences, probably had a little bit to say about this stained life? I would imagine so. Matter of fact, if you just go back, take the book of Ecclesiastes into a nutshell, here's what Solomon did. Solomon said, I've tried everything. I've tried riches. I've tried women. I've tried this. I've tried fame. He says, you know what? After it's all said and done, what did he conclude? It's all vanity. It's all vanity. There's no happiness in things. There's no happiness in jobs and money. He said, let me tell you where the happiness is. The happiness is in a clean life. A happiness is in a relationship with God. Look at what he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, if you found your place there, verse number 7. He says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. He says, listen now, let thy garments be always, does your Bible say white? He said, let your garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. I think probably that if we'd adhere to the words of Solomon, because let me tell you something, that old boy was the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth outside the Lord Jesus Christ, and boy, he soiled his life up too, didn't he? And by the way, you know what Solomon thought? Solomon thought, you know what, I've got all these riches, I am who I am, I am above certain things, and so he began to marry strange women. You know what those women did? They drew his heart away from God and to idols. And boy, Solomon, if he had it all over to do again, boy, he surely wouldn't want to die like this, now would he? And yet, folks, each one of us are headed down that road. Listen, one of us, every one of us, are headed down that road to an appointment with death. Now, when that appointment comes for me and God calls me, you know what? I don't know about you. I don't want to face God like this. I want to face God like this. I want to face Him clean. I want to face Him right. And all Solomon is saying, he says, let your garments be always white. Let yourself be always presentable. Because listen, folks, we do not know when that time shall come and we'll be face to face with God. Let your garments always be white. Take your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Give you a couple of things here that we're to guard. Philippians chapter 1, find your place there, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Stop. Did not Paul also tell us in chapter 13 of Romans, chapter 13, verse 14, that we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? So guess what's part of this tabernacle? He said, let your conversation, let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We don't have time there. You can jot down Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2 as well, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, in my conversation, my life, I'm to guard it. It's to be always. My garments are to be always white. always presentable. Just like when they brought those two lambs, they offered one in the morning, one in the evening, as a continual sacrifice. Say, man, I got it done this morning. What do I need to do today? It needs to be a continual sacrifice. It needs to be a continual burnt offering. It's an offering of dedication. Boy, we go out into the world, we get soiled, don't we? Take your Bible, go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Colossians 4, verse number 6. He says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. You know the thing that gets most of us in trouble, that soils us more than anything, is our tongue, our mouth. Hey, most people in this room, they're not out drugging. Hey, they're not out walking the streets. They're not out doing that. You know what? The thing that gets most Christians and their garments soiled is our mouth. That's what soils us. Now, listen very carefully. When we do that and we speak against a brother, or we make a false accusation against a brother, or we criticize someone without reason for following that line of thinking, may I say to you this, when we come to church, it's what we are. It's what we are. And then we come and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Am I right? It's what we do. And the first thing he says, hey, have you checked your garments out? Oh, wow. I didn't realize they were so soiled. Isn't it amazing how that we come to church and we just don't check? You see, he says our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. And may I say to you that not only did Solomon say that our garments should always be white, but folks, we need to pay attention to that because people do notice spots and stains. As I mentioned earlier, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7, God relayed to Samuel, he said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. I wonder when you get up in the morning and go to work, if you put on Christ. Or if you get up in the morning and you go to work and you serve all day at your job and people look at you, they think, man, that old boy's short. I thought he was a believer. Man, I thought he's a Christian. I thought he loved God. And then here's what we do. Then we reach in our pocket, reach for a track. Try to find a track in our pocket to hand somebody. We walk up to him here. Here's a gospel tract, tell you how to go to heaven. The whole time they're looking at us like we're a fool. They're not going to take you serious. They're not going to take me seriously. You see, people do notice spots and stains. You know why I noticed? You know why I know that? Because I've gotten out of the house like that before, and somebody said, hey, did you know, right here? And I don't know about you, but I can't hardly go eat in a suit and tie anymore. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's like that my tie is like a magnet for everything that falls off of my fork. And sometimes I feel like I have to eat like this to keep something, because I'm telling you, my cleaning bill is out of the ceiling. I hate it. So you know what I do now? I know this looks dorky, but I take my tie, throw it over my shoulder, and eat. But then it misses my tie and gets my white shirt. And I'm telling you, a stain will really show up on a white shirt. And may I say too, you know, to the world, it'll really show up in your garments. It's very glaring to them. It may not be to you, but it is to them. See, people do notice. They look at the outward appearance. Man can't see the inside. He only can see is the outside. You see, spots can be seen by both believers and unbelievers. They can be seen by both. And church, may I say to you, as this new year begins and it brings changes to our church and our lives, you know what we ought to do? We ought to examine our garments. All I want to do is challenge you to examine your garments tonight. You say, okay, Brother Todd, I'm looking at mine. Man, I got stains all over mine. Well, can I go back and make the application here to what I mentioned right at the beginning of the message? And that's this: check your life out for spots every day. Check your garments out for spots and stains every day. Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. He says, I die daily. You know what he was saying? I got to check myself out every day. Every day, I've got to check myself for spots and stains and find out, has the world had influence on me today? But see, not only is it going to be evident to those you work with, it'll be evident to your family. Can I say to you guys, you walk in the house, you've been doing things you shouldn't be doing, first person that knows your stains, your wife. Because you know what happens? Your countenance changes. Because you know what? You know there's a stain. And you know there's a spot. You know what we're trying to do? But your wife got you pegged, man. You say, how do you know? Because you've been married a long time. She knows when there's something wrong. And may I say also, ladies, vice versa. He knows also that something's wrong. Amen. Isn't this good? Hey, I'm just telling you. We're to check our life every day for spots. Every day I get up, I need to check to see, hey, look at my garments. To check and see if the world has had effect on me and has spotted or stained my garments for Christ. May I say to you, number two, not only should we check our life for spots today, we should consider how it appears to God and man. Hey, folks, you can try. Hey, I'll just be honest with you, all right? I done tried that cane thing. That don't work. You say, what's a cane thing? When God said, here's the way I want the sacrifice to be brought, and this is what I want the sacrifice to be, don't be bringing me fruit. Don't bring me, I don't care how hard you labored for it. I don't care how long you tilled the ground. I don't care how much sweat you, I said, this is the way it's to be. This is the way I want it. And Cain decided, you know what? I don't care. I care what you want. This is what I have. You either take it or not. And you know what God said? Not. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but you can force God's hand if you want to, but it's going to be not every time. Because He's got a way that He wants us to come to get those spots removed. He's got a specific way that He wants us to follow to have those stains removed. And if I come and I just say, here I am, you see, we need to consider how it appears to God and man. 2 Corinthians 5:20, don't turn there, but the Bible says that when I got saved, I became an ambassador. An ambassador for Christ. If you went home tonight, you turned the news on, and the ambassador of the United States stood up to give a speech in the parliament or some foreign place, and he stood up, and he looked like this. You know what most of you'd say? Get that jerk out of here! He's misrepresenting the United States of America! Most of us wouldn't put up with that, would we? But isn't it amazing how we expect God to put up with us like this? Don't think a thing about it. Don't even consider what he thinks. Don't even consider what men think. You see, we need to check our life daily for spots. We need to consider how it appears to God and man. And then may I say, we need to care about our testimony. We need to care about our testimony. And let me tell you something, folks. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Do you know God cares about it? You know why? Because He tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And if God cares, you know what? I need to care. If God cares about my outer garments, I need to care. If God cares about my relationship, I need to care. Now here's your one-point sermon right here. You say, okay, what is that stain remover? What is the ultimate stain remover in my life as a believer? I'm already saved. The blood of Christ has already washed my soul clean and white, but I get spots on me. I get them on my outer garment as I walk through this world. How do I get them removed so I can be a good testimony before the world? We're going to follow a chain of verses here. Turn, if you would, to Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. Okay, Job chapter 11, in verse 14. Job 11, verse 14 and verse 15. The scripture says, if iniquity be in thine hand, does your King James Bible say put it far away? He says, basically, I'm making an analogy here. He says, if you find a spot and you find a stain, get it cleaned. Put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. He says, for then shalt thou lift up thy face without, does your Bible say spot? Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Hey, I'm just telling you, Job had it right here. Even though he's not speaking here, but in the book of Job, it's got it right. He says that then, after I put away my iniquity, he says, then I can lift up my face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Kind of indicates here that I can get that spot removed, right? Say, okay, how do I do it? All right, go to the New Testament. Go all the way to the New Testament. Let me show you a sister verse to this. In the New Testament, you'll find it in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Find your place there. First John 1 and verse number 9. See, the remover's been here the whole time. Here's your one-point sermon. The ultimate stain remover, according to the Scripture, is confession. Confess. I ain't got anything to confess about. That's our problem. You can't see them. Everybody else can see them but you. Everybody else can see them but me. God sees them. The world sees them. Other believers see them. So why can't I see them? Because you ain't checking. You don't even consider. And even if you do find one, we try to cover it up and we go on about our business because nobody will notice. And yet the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, does your Bible say, all unrighteousness? You know, it doesn't matter how or what kind of stain I come to the Lord with. Doesn't matter if it's blood stain. Doesn't matter if it's a coffee stain or a grease stain. He says, you know what? I got the perfect thing. It'll clean them all. Just like that. He said, what is that ultimate cleaner, that stain remover I can get to? It's called confessing. Confessing. You see, that's foreign language to most of us. Because we are not in the habit of confessing that we're wrong. We're not in the habit of confessing that we've been a gossip. We're not in the habit of confessing that we've been involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. We've let our eyes be defiled. We've let our ears be defiled. We've let our life be defiled. And we're spotted. We can't even see it. You know why? Because we never go to that place where confession needs to take place. You say, where is that? The Bible said we're come boldly before the throne of grace. You know what you're going to find there? You're going to find mercy. You're going to find grace to help in time of need. You know what this hanky needs desperately bad? It needs to be cleaned. You know where I'm going to get it? I'm going to get it at the foot of the throne of God, and I'm going to get it by confessing. I'm going to get it by confessing sincerely before God and acknowledging I have spots, I have stains, I need help. Now you can try all you want to try to get them out yourself. You can try every way in the world. You think, I think I'm going to try a different way to get these stains. I think I'm going to serve in the bus ministry. That ain't getting them out. Think I'll go serve in the nursery. Go ahead. You know what you'll take with you? You'll take them right there with you. Because there ain't nothing getting these stains out we're talking about right here, the transgressions of your life, except confessing before God. You know what made David? Listen, have you ever wondered why God called Abraham the friend of God? Go read about him. Man, you're talking about all kinds. This guy messed up a bunch. You ever wonder why that God called David the apple of his eye and a man after his own heart? You ever wondered why he did that? In his life, well, I'm telling you, was soiled left and right. Let me tell you what was common between these two men and is common with great people of today that are right with God, that God's hand is on. It's because they learn how to confess. They learned how to confess, I'm wrong. And let me tell you something, dear friend, it's just simple as this. I'm wrong, God's right. And just acknowledge I'm wrong. If I've wronged somebody, confess it. I've wronged somebody. If I've said something I shouldn't have said, confess it. If I've done something I shouldn't have done, confess it. What's so hard about that? I tell you what's so hard about it. Because we live in a prideful, egotistical flesh. And that old egotistical, prideful flesh don't want to admit it's wrong. And certainly, listen, don't want to admit it's wrong to God, before God, and certainly don't want to admit it's wrong before men. You see, confession is so important to God that your salvation and my salvation depended on you and I confessing that Christ is Savior and accepting Him as such. Do you know Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, very plainly states that. And then it goes on to verse number 10 and says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with confession, see, my salvation, hey, I acknowledge the facts, but you know when salvation came in, when I stood right there 25 years ago and I confessed that Jesus was the only way. And you know how these stains are going to get removed from my garments? Solomon said that we're to keep these garments, guard them and keep them white before God. You know how they're going to get? I'm going to have to be a good confessor. You say, how often do we need to do this, Brother Todd? How about every day? How about if you can, when you commit that transgression before God, how about if you can find a quiet place in a broom closet on your job, get it done then? Because you never know when you're going to face the Lord. Let me give you one last verse and I'm done. Take your Bible, if you would, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Church, I'm just saying to you that going into 2010... I want to be right. I want to be clean. I want to be usable. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, and he gives you the list of, and some things, you can go back and read it in your spare time. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's what I want right there, don't you? But it ain't getting there like this. It ain't happening this way. He says it's going to take a personal purging. You know where that comes from? You got to confess. Be a good confessor. Take time out every day to confess before God your faults. And before you leave the house every day to go out into the world, check it out. Check for spots. Check for stains. Consider how it's going to reflect on the Lord when you leave the house. And I hope you never get to a place where you see a spot and you just say, I don't care. But the Bible talks negatively about those who are past feeling. Do you want to be a vessel unto honor? There's got to be some confessing and purging going on. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Church, I'm just going to say to you that I'll be the first one to stand in line and say that this preacher right here, I wish I could say that I made it through 2009 spotless, but I can't, and neither can you. I wish I could say that going into 2010 that there are no areas in my life that I need to address, but may I say to you, there are. And I think if every one of us will look deeply in our heart, we'll find that our life, our testimony, has some spots and stains that need to be removed. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, preacher, my biggest need tonight is I need the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, no one's ever taken the Bible and shared the gospel with me. I have no idea what's required to be born in the family of God, but I need prayer. If you're here like that and you'd say, preacher, that's me, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I'll pray for you. You can slip it right back down. No one's looking but me. God bless you. Anybody else, just slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. And you'd say, preacher, that's me. I no one's ever showed me how to be saved. I need to be saved. I don't know that I've been born into the family of God. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? Anybody else? Just slip it up and I'll pray for you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Todd, boy, I'm looking into my life right now and I see a lot of spots. I see a lot of stains that's been hindering me from serving God. You know, the preacher made a statement this morning that I thought about this afternoon. He was talking about growing up and he made a statement and he said, baby Christians don't want to serve, and they can't until they grow to that place to where they can serve. Listen, folks, I don't want to be a baby Christian. I want to be a mature Christian. But maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Brother Todd, that's me. I've looked in my heart. I see a lot of spots, a lot of stains that I need to take care of. I need to get on this thing of confessing. I need to make my life right with God. Would you pray for me? I need to get it done. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Just slip your hand way up high with mine. You say, that's me. That's me. That's me, Brother Todd. I'm looking inside. I see some things that need changing desperately bad. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask you tonight on behalf of these dear people who are faithful people to this church. And Lord, as we go into this new year, I pray that every member of this church, every person in the sound of my voice tonight would look inwardly and take a look at what's there. Sometimes, Lord, we're afraid to because we know what we're going to find. We know that in some of our lives, Lord, there are things that we don't want to address, we don't want to look at. But we'll never be a usable vessel. We'll never be a vessel unto honor until we find that place at the foot of the throne of grace and confess our sins before an almighty God. I realize there are some here tonight, Lord, that may not remember It's been so long since they've gone to the throne of grace and confessed. There's no way they're going to remember all the things of the past. But there's a Holy Ghost of God that lives in them that has not forgotten. He's willing right now to help them in that process of confessing before God Almighty, to be clean and be right, usable vessels unto honor. That's what I so desire of my life. That's what I so desire to see in the lives of these dear people. Lord God, if Trinity Baptist Church is going to go forward, we're going to do the work of God in this area that you desire us to do. You need clean, honorable vessels. Let that be our desire. We'll give you the glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Now, with our